If you or a loved one have been a victim of domestic violence, help is available. Speak with someone today. You can contact the National Domestic Violence Hotline 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Available in English, Spanish, and over 200 languages through Interpretation Service. You can dial them at 1-800-799-7233. Again, that's 1-800-799-7233. Or text BEGIN, that's BEGIN, to 88788. WWE Universe, the D-Loop Podcast is now a brand affiliate of WWE Shop with Fanatics. Get all of your latest merchandise from your favorite WWE superstars and wear them proud. So if it's CM Punk, the American Nightmare Cody Rhodes, L.A. Knight, the Tribal Chief Roman Reigns, or legends like The Rock, Stone Cold Steve Austin, and Bret the Hitman Hart, again, you can get all of your favorite merchandise over at wrestling.thedlupodcast.com. Again, that's wrestling.thedlupodcast.com to get all of your favorite merchandise at WWE Shop with Fanatics. This podcast is a Believe Network and Luciete production. Welcome to another edition of the D-Loop Podcast, brought to you by Believe Network. I'm your host, Derek T. Lewis. I hope the week is treating you all great. You know, as we're heading into this Memorial Day weekend, and I want to give, you know, special thanks to all the men and women who sacrifice their lives, you know, for these United States and protecting our country through our armed forces. But not only is it Memorial Day weekend, but this is a huge weekend for the world of professional wrestling. That's what we're talking about today. We're going to be talking about this weekend's WWE King and Queen of the Ring takes place Saturday afternoon in the United States, of course. That takes place in Saudi Arabia. And Sunday night, AEW Double or Nothing that takes place in Las Vegas, Nevada. And just really just talking about my predictions, what I think, you know, what it means going forward from once these events are over. And we're going to start off with, of course, the King and Queen of the Ring. Now, I've noticed a pattern. Call me crazy or whatever. But I'm noticing that these premium live events that are taking place, you know, overseas, you know, like Backlash last month that took place in France, it was only five matches. I couldn't believe it. Because, you know, obviously there's so much content, you know, with both companies, to be honest with you, that you kind of lose track of, you know, how many matches are going to be on, you know, on these special events. And it's only five. But I got to be honest with you, Backlash, they really made the best of those five matches. And you kind of forgot that it was five matches because, A, number one, the crowd was the MVP of the show, making it bigger. It was already a big event, but the fact that they made it even bigger made it feel important. So, and I'm pretty sure that the crowd in Saudi Arabia is going to live up to, you know, the hype in regards to the energy they're going to bring, you know, this Saturday afternoon, and of course Saturday night over there in Saudi Arabia. But the first match that's on the list here is Gunther, who won the Raw King of the Ring tournament match on Monday. He defeated main event Jey Uso. He's going to be taking on the winner of the SmackDown bracket, which is Randy Orton and Tama Tonga. Now, to me, you know, it's an obvious choice. I think Randy Orton will beat Tama Tonga this Friday night on SmackDown. If I'm wrong, you can tweet me, email me, whatever. But it only makes sense, you know, to have a babyface and a heel going into the finals, you know, of the King of the Ring on Saturday. And I believe Gunther is going to go over as the King of the Ring. And I think at this point in Randy's career, you know, can he still go? Absolutely. He is still one of the absolute best workers in the business. I didn't say wrestlers. I said worker because, granted, you know, a lot of people are very, very, you know, obsessed with moves and this and the five-star match and yada, yada. But when it really comes down to the art of working, you know, in the wrestling ring, there is no one better or smoother than Randy Orton. But I think it's going to be a seesaw battle. I think Randy's going to really bring the best out of Gunther, and I think Gunther's going to end up winning. I'm thinking maybe submission, but again, I could be totally wrong. But again, Gunther will be King of the Ring. Now, the next match that's listed here is the winner of the Raw Women's Queen of the Ring bracket, Lyra Valkyria. And she's going to be taking on the winner of this Friday's SmackDown bracket winner for the women, which is Nia Jax and Bianca Belair. Now, to me, I think this makes sense, you know, for Nia Jax. I mean, by the way, let me just say this. Ever since Nia Jax has been back, this run is probably going to be talked about, you know, if you think about 10, 15, 20 years down the line, people are going to talk about this run for Nia Jax. She's moving. I mean, she dropped a lot of weight, you know, kudos to that. But also too, and I liked her, you know, before, but it seems like now she seems very, you know, channeling, very focused. And I mean, she's bumping in that ring like she's never done it before. And I mean, she's doing some awesome work in there. And I think they're going to reward her, you know, winning the match this Friday on SmackDown. I think Nia's going to win the match. And not only she's going to win the match, but she is going to be Queen of the Ring. That's right. Nia Jax. You heard it from the D-Loop podcast. Nia Jax will be Queen of the Ring. Two heels. That's royalty in the world of the WWE. Hey. We'll see. The next match I have on this PLE is the Women's World Championship match between Becky Lynch and Liv Morgan. I love what they're doing with Liv Morgan as a heel. There's a lot of untapped potential, I feel, in that regard, and what she can do character-wise. Obviously, she's really good in the ring. There's no denying what she can do work-wise in there, and I really enjoy her work. I mean, she's really gotten better. I think this is probably the best version of Liv Morgan that we've seen. Even when she was the champion a few years ago, when she beat Ronda Rousey, you know, she cashed in Money in the Bank, and she was a SmackDown Women's Champion for that brief run. I just think now that Liv is there's a lot more character work being done with her. I really enjoy her work. And when Rhea comes back, it's going to be on. I don't know if they're going to take the belt off of Becky Lynch just yet. I think it's too early right now. And I would milk that for a minute. And I think that Becky's going to walk out still Women's World Champion. And to be honest with you, I would like it to be maybe a double countout, a disqualification, something like that. But obviously, in those circumstances, the champion does not lose the title. I think if you could stretch this feud out a little bit longer, maybe until SummerSlam. And I know there's the Clash at the Castle, and I know there's Money in the Bank. So maybe Becky can drop it, you know, to her at one of those events, and then maybe that can set up Liv Morgan versus Rhea Ripley at SummerSlam. So that's my guess, but I would say I wouldn't have like a clean finish for this match. I would maybe have it ended in a DQ or something like that, so we can definitely keep the feud going. My next the next match listed right now is the triple threat match for the Intercontinental Championship. Sami Zayn defending against Chad Gable and Big Bronson Reed. I'm stuck because I'm really enjoying Sami Zayn's run as champion. But I think, I truly believe, because again, this is not Sami's first reign as the Intercontinental Champion. I say that Chad Gable wins the Intercontinental Championship. And he doesn't have to pin Sami Zayn. He can actually pin Bronson Reed. So in a triple threat match, anybody can be pinned. So we'll see. I think that, I mean, they're going to give us a quality match, obviously, with them. And let me just say, I can't wait for, you know, this trio of Chad Gable and the Creed brothers to come to fruition. I cannot wait, because 20-some years ago, I was a huge fan of Team Angle. You know, obviously Kurt Angle, Charlie Haas, and Shelton Benjamin. I really loved, you know, that presentation that they brought. Obviously, when you have, you know, when they had the three collegiate guys, and of course you had the Olympic gold medalist, you know, together, you know, it was a perfect match. You couldn't put three better guys together at that time. Just my opinion. And I feel the same way now with the Creed brothers putting on the matches that they've been putting on. And of course you have a former Olympian in Chad Gable. So I think Chad Gable wins the Intercontinental Championship. And I think, you know, that following Monday on Raw, you know, we're going to see the birth of this new faction, I think, with him and the Creed brothers. And he's going to ditch, you know, Otis and Maxxine Dupri and Tozawa. So We'll see what happens, you know, regarding that. And of course, you know, we have the main event for the Undisputed WWE Championship. You know, Cody Rhodes defending against Logan Paul. If you guys didn't see Raw this past Monday, there was something in the contract where Logan Paul was able to get out of putting up the United States Championship. You know, they let it be a champion versus champion title for title match. Everyone online was complaining, and I hope this is not the case that the WWE was acquiescing to fans complaining because they thought it was going to be, oh, is Cody going to be a double champion or not, and that type of thing. But no, I think it makes sense because there's a certain challenger out there that I've been lobbying for on this show to be the next United States champion, and that man is L.A. Knight. Yeah! L.A. Knight, yeah, that's right. I think L.A. Knight, you know, I'm thinking in another few months, I'm thinking SummerSlam. I know right now is the road to SummerSlam right now, and I think L.A. Knight winning the IC title from Logan Paul, you know, that will be the perfect event for him to do that. So Cody Rhodes, I think, you know, obviously Cody will retain. I mean, there's no. This is obvious, you know, Cody's going to retain the championship and put on this historic run, I think, that Cody's going to have as champion. Now, he did mention the other day on Busted Open Radio, shout out to Dave LaGreca and the crew over at Busted Open Radio. You can listen to Busted Open 7 days a week, 9 a.m. to 12 noon Eastern on Channel 156. Fight Nation on Sirius XM Radio. Cody was being interviewed on Busted Open. He was talking about having, you know, a new manager. He wanted something similar to what he had in AEW with Arn Anderson, you know, kind of as the coach. And he's looking for that old school manager. At this stage in the game, I don't think Cody needs a manager. I think Cody A can talk. And I think to me what makes a great babyface is the willingness to work from underneath and overcome adversity. Cody's done that. He's proven that. And at this stage in the game, I don't think he needs a manager. But who knows what they may have up their sleeve. I know Arn Anderson is not in AEW any longer. So if this is the way to bring Arn back, hey, why not? So that's, like I said, that's my prediction for the King and Queen of the Ring premium live event. And, you know, I just think that these, you know, these premium live events that are overseas, you know, it's, again, WWE is doing incredible business right now. You know, obviously they have the Clash at the Castle that's taking place in Scotland in June. And then on top of that, you have Money in the Bank that's taking place in Toronto, Canada. And then you have the Bash in Berlin that's taking place at the end of August. So they're doing a lot of international business right now, and I keep telling people WWE is really putting the world in World Wrestling Entertainment more than they've ever have done before. And hey, why we can have domestic money, but why can't we get that international money? You know what I mean? So, like I said, you know, that's my those are my predictions for WWE King and Queen of the Ring. And now we're gonna move on to AEW's Double or Nothing pay-per-view. And let me just say, as of right now, I'm recording this on a Wednesday night. You know, AEW Dynamite has taken place. And right now they have 9 matches listed, which I think is fine. It's solid. Usually AEW goes almost 4 hours on their pay-per-views, and I know they've been doing a lot of frequent pay-per-views. They're up to 9, I believe, if you count, you know, the ones that they've had this year, and of course the months, you know, ahead. And it just came out, actually, now that I'm talking about AEW's pay-per-view events, that All Out and All In, I mean, well, All In and All Out, rather, I've got to put it in order, are no longer going to be a week apart, okay? Fans were complaining that, you know, it was just too soon to have those back-to-back pay-per-views. So what they're going to do is AEW All In London is going to take place on August the 25th. Okay, and what's going to happen is AEW All Out is going to take place on September 7th. So you're talking about 13 days afterwards. You know, after I'm All In London, we're going to get All Out. To me, why not just put All Out at the end of September? Why not do it that way? Because to me, it just doesn't make sense. That's just too soon to pay and think about it. It's not like it's streaming. You know, this is still AEW charging the old pay-per-view model for $50 a pop. That's $100 within a matter of 2 weeks. That's insane. So I'm hoping this can be a leeway for AEW to have its own streaming service, you know, and pay a fee. Because, I mean, I think the modern wrestling fan is conditioned, especially with, obviously, with WWE leading the way, to have, you know, paying a streaming service of what, $5.99 or was it $9.99 that they're charging for Peacock to get the WWE Network. So I'm hoping AEW does that, because I think more fans will tune in. Just saying. So we're going to talk about the first match listed here. And again, I don't know if this is going to be the final order of the matches, but I'm just going to do it as I'm seeing it right now. It's going to be the AEW International Championship of the champion Roderick Strong facing Will Ospreay. And as much as I want Will Ospreay to main event All in London at Wembley on August the 25th, maybe it's not time for him to do it this year, being that he signed a multi-year contract with AEW. Maybe he can do it next year, but we'll see. But I do see Will Ospreay becoming the new AEW International Champion. And I think the match, you know, like any Ospreay match, is going to be top quality. I still feel Roderick Strong can go. He can still go. There's no holes in his game. I think he's really doing, you know, some incredible work, you know, in AEW. But yeah, I think Will Ospreay walks out with the international title. And before I proceed, let me just see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 matches that have a title on the line. My God, that's a lot. that's a lot. And again, I get it. They have a lot of championships in AEW. Two of them that are non-sanctioned AEW titles, and I'll get to those matches when they do come up. But I just feel as though that some of the titles don't need to be defended on pay-per-view, and give other people an opportunity to tell their stories of their feuds on pay-per-view. Just my opinion. But the next match listed is Timeless Toni Storm defending against the Professor of Professional Wrestling, Serena Deeb. Again, you know, two of the best, I don't want to say women's wrestlers, but two of the best wrestlers in the world, because I've been following Serena's career over the last 15, 16 years, and she is so good in the ring. So good. I had an opportunity to meet her at WrestleCon in Philadelphia back in April. Such a nice, nice person. And I'm pulling for her to do some incredible stuff in AEW. But I think because of the role that Toni Storm's been on, not just, you know, in the ring, but just the Timeless character. I mean, right now she is so locked in what she's doing. This, again, as I was saying about Nia Jax, this is the best we've seen her. I still say the same thing about Toni Storm. She was great when she was in WWE. Don't get me wrong. I loved her work there, but I just think that she's honing in into something different that's setting her apart from her peers. So Tony Storm will retain the AEW Women's World title. And hopefully she gets to, I don't want to say headline the Wembley show, but she's one of the main attractions on that show. Next, we have the barbed wire steel cage match for the AEW TNT Championship. The champion, Adam Copeland, versus Malakai Black. Now, for those of you that saw AEW's Dynamite, as I'm recording this on a Wednesday night, you know, we saw a little bit of an old school bloodbath. Yeah, we saw that. Yeah, Edge was cutting a promo, and I know the lights went out, and he was cutting a promo while Malakai Black was in the ring. Let me just specify that. And I know some of the house lights went off, but there was a light, you know, over the ring, obviously, and it was a huge blood. It was all this like fake blood that just came down on Malakai Black, and I guess Copeland was basically saying, you know, basically what he's going to be in for in this barbed wire steel cage match. It's going to be a lot of blood and the whole nine. This is a pick'em, but I'm going to go on a limb and say that Malakai Black wins the TNT Championship, because I think, you know, it was cool that he was doing the six-man deal, the Trios Championship deal with Brody King and Buddy Matthews. But I think maybe they should go on and talk about challenging the tag titles and let Malakai Black focus on some singles gold, because he's definitely deserving of that. His work is impeccable. I love his work. And even when he was in NXT and, of course, on the main roster in WWE, I wish they would have done more with them before letting him go. That's neither here nor there. But yeah, I think Malakai Black will defeat Adam Copeland to become the new AEW TNT champion. All right, we have the IWGP Heavyweight Championship Eliminator match between John Moxley and Kazuchika Takeshita. And I hope I didn't butcher his name, Takeshita. And if he wins, then he will receive a future IWGP World Heavyweight Championship match. Now, and it's cool that Tony's, you know, letting, you know, has a really good relationship with New Japan, has a really good relationship with those guys, and is allowing their matches to take place on an AEW card. Part of me, I wouldn't want my champion losing on pay-per-view, even if it's a non-title match. I just can't see John Moxley, you know, right now the face of New Japan Pro Wrestling, losing in a match like this. So I think Moxley will win the match, and there will be no future championship matches for Mr. Takeshita. So let's see what happens from there. However, there is a singles match with no championships on the line. We have Trent Barretta versus Orange Cassidy. Right now, you know, Trent Barretta's he's going on his heel run. I've always liked Orange Cassidy. I've always liked his work. He's a bit different than most, which I think is great, and that's what makes him stand out the most. But I feel that in order to establish, you know, especially someone that's turning, you know, just doing something different character-wise, in this case, Trent Barretta being a heel, I think you want to establish him as such, and I'm definitely going to say that he's going to walk out the victor. You know, he may pull some underhanded chicanery, you know, whether it's grabbing the tights, maybe the foot on the rope, you know, typical heel stuff, you know, cheating. You know, what did Eddie Guerrero say? If you're not cheating, you're not trying, right? So I think Trent Barretta is going to walk out with the victory, you know, over Orange Cassidy. But again, this won't hurt Orange Cassidy at all. Okay. Now we have FTW rules match for the FTW championship. Chris Jericho, the champion, will be taking off former champion Hook and Shibata. Now, again, I don't know why Chris was booked to win the FTW title to begin with. I don't think it makes sense. I think Chris is I'm not crapping on the FTW title at all. Like, I'm not. But I just didn't see the significance of him even doing that. You know what I mean? I know he's doing the whole learning tree deal, you know, with Big Bill. But again, it just doesn't seem right of how they're booking Chris Jericho right now. I don't know. I know they're feeding into, as I stated before on this show, about, you know, the fans wanting him to go away or to please retire and all that. But who knows? Who knows what'll happen, you know, with these fans in Vegas? So what the reaction is going to be? But I do see Hook taking back the FTW title. And I think this may be a way for them to ultimately retire the FTW title, because to me, he's being pigeonholed with that belt. No disrespect. I remember when Taz first brought that title out in ECW, I want to say 1998, when he was tired of Shane Douglas when he was the ECW world champion. He was ducking and dodging Taz, and Taz was like, you know what? Since you don't want to give me a title shot, I'll create my own belt. He said, you can call this the Brooklyn World Belt. You can call this the F the World Belt. That's basically what FTW stands for, F the World. And that was his charge towards winning the ECW title, in which he ultimately did. But I just don't think that, you know, this for Hook, I just don't think that this is going to help propel him to the next level, being pigeonholed with that title. I think they need to retire the belt, you know, put it back on the mantle, and let Hook focus on championships such as the International Championship or the TNT Championship or something like that. You know what I mean? Just have him focus on something else, not just that. So we have the TBS Championship with the champion Willow Nightingale defending against Mercedes Moné, which is going to be her very first match in AEW. Now, I love Willow Nightingale. She's someone that has worked extremely hard to get to where she is. I love her work. She has a great work ethic. I've worked with her before. She came through the world famous Monster Factory about 4 years ago, and we had a chance to, you know, get to know one another. And there's been times where her and I have, you know, ran into each other. I just saw her at Wale Mania back during Mania Week in Philly. Again, she is such a sweetheart of a human being, and I'm torn because I like these two ladies. And obviously, I saw their match in New Japan when Mercedes and her were wrestling over the Strong title, in which Willow walked out with the title. And I believe that was the match where Mercedes had got injured, and she hadn't wrestled since. So there's a lot of backstory with this match, but I think Mercedes is going to walk out with the TBS championship. And I think, you know, this can now set up, you know, the chase. Now there'll be a lot of return matches, you know, on, you know, whether it's TV at this point, because and this is where I wish AEW had house shows or live events, whatever you want to call it, because I think, you know, this is where people can come out and see, you know, the chase now. This is the chase that the babyface has. And to me, they're presenting Mercedes as a babyface, but I to me, she is a heel to her core. She's a heel. There's no doubt in my mind. She's a heel. So I'm looking forward to, if Mercedes does win the championship, that this will be now Willow chasing to get it back. Well, to quote Justin Roberts, shit's going to hit the fan. Anarchy in the Arena match. Man, it's going to be Team Elite with Okada, Jack Perry, and the Young Bucks taking on Team AEW, which consists of Bryan Danielson, FTR, and the returning Darby Allin. And by the way, may I say this? Darby Allin has to be made of steel. This man, number one, broke his foot in a match. I believe that was at the Revolution pay-per-view. He broke his foot in the match with Sting, in Sting's retirement match. Now, mind you, for clarity, he was getting ready to do, he was ready to climb, rather, Mount Everest. And he broke his foot, in which that prevented him from doing it. And I'm thinking, okay, maybe this is the universe, God, or telling you, hey, man, it's not a good idea. Then a few weeks ago in New York City, he gets hit by a bus. And he looked all types of messed up. And I was so shocked that he returned over the week. I'm like, what? I'm like, this guy is made of steel. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. But anyways, you know, this is going to be everything you would expect in anarchy in an arena match. There's going to be fighting all over the place. There's going to be blood. There's going to be weapons. There's going to be the kitchen sink. Everything you can think of. And I believe Team AEW will walk out the victors in this one. Again, when you're in a match like this, it doesn't really hurt anybody when you lose. But I just think that at the end of the day, you want to, obviously, with the guys that are players in there on the babyface side of Team AEW, I think that's the ones you want to go over. Again, just my opinion. I could be totally wrong, but there you have it. Team AEW wins Anarchy in the Arena match. And the very last match of the evening that's listed, again, I don't know if this is going to close or not, if it's the world title. I mean, being that this is the world title, it should, but again, we never know. Swerve Strickland, the current AEW champion, world champion, will be defending against Christian Cage. Now, I have to say this. I was talking to Gabby earlier, which, by the way, Gabby will be returning next week, guys. She was dealing with some personal things, and nothing but love and positivity for my friend Gabby. She's been a tremendous addition to this show. But her and I were talking, and I just said, I'm not really digging the way they're booking Swerve Strickland right now. He is the world champion, and they're booking him, to me, as a mid-carder. I think that they're not making this title run as important as if when MJF was the champion or any other guy before him were champion. They were main eventing. They were doing all these other things. Like, and again, this is no disrespect to Nick Wayne, but he shouldn't be in at the world champion right now. That's just my opinion. I think the importance of the title is the guys that are in line, you know, storyline-wise, should be the ones gunning for the champion. You know what I mean? Not these, like, one-off matches or whatever. And I know he's, you know, getting ready to lock it up with Christian Cage, and I know they'll put on a spectacular match. Don't get me wrong. But I just haven't really been pleased with how they've been booking Swerve Strickland. I don't know why. It just doesn't – they're not making his title reign important right now. That's just me. They're not making it important, and I'm hoping that he retains. I don't see why they're going to put the title on Christian. That's just my opinion. I like Christian Cage's work, but if they want to establish, you know, Swerve, you know, as a respectable champion, you know, you put him over, and I think Swerve's is gonna go over. And also too, I'll just keep it real. I like Swerve as a heel. I'm really not digging him as a babyface. It just doesn't... The wrong casting to me. He was much better and had an edge to him as a heel. You wanted to see him get his ass kicked. As a viewer, you wanted to see... I mean, this is a guy that busted people's houses in Hangman Page's house. Went to Nick Wayne's house and busted him up at his wrestling school in his garage. I mean, he did some horrible things. And... He had an edge to him, and it just seems really, really odd what this title run has been. But hopefully it gets better after this event. So again, that's my predictions for, again, WWE King and Queen of the Ring and AEW's Double or Nothing. I can't believe this is now 5-year anniversary for AEW. Obviously the first pay-per-view they did was Double or Nothing 2019 in Las Vegas. Highlighted, you know, by an epic match with Cody Rhodes and Dustin Rhodes. I mean, and they bled. My God, they bled. But they told an incredible story in that ring. That's one of my favorite matches in AEW in its short history. You know, the fact that, you know, AEW has been around for 5 years and is making, you know, making waves. And obviously there's been some ups and downs. You know, it is no secret that they've had a lot of ups and downs. But I think... You know, for them to be a very young company and they're you know, bringing in revenue, obviously they are, you know, they're still able to garner over 100,000 people ordering pay-per-view, which again, I don't want to say it's an outdated business model, but the streaming is pretty much where it is now. So they're doing, you know, with the old pay-per-view system, and hopefully they're going to streaming. We'll see. But, you know, they're doing a good job. And I just think there's no way to go but up. You know, obviously I don't think the official announcement has been made, but there has been rumor and innuendo that NBC has won the bid to get the viewing rights for the NBA. So it looks like that the NBA on TNT will be no more in regard to Tuesday and Thursday nights. I'm going to miss Inside the NBA with Shaq, Kenny, Ernie, and Charles Barkley. I'm going to miss those four doing basketball. So I know next season is going to be their last season. But this helps AEW tremendously because now they have the leg up in negotiations now. So hopefully this may be an additional show for AEW, which I'm hoping is Ring of Honor, that they get an opportunity to, you know, branch out and show that brand, because I think closing it up, making that a streaming exclusive for a brand like that, that brand deserves a television spot. So I'm hopeful that Ring of Honor, you know, can get some shine in regards to getting some airtime, you know, hopefully with a new deal with Warner Brothers Discovery. Well, that does it for this week's edition of the show of the D-Lew Podcast. Again, I want to thank every single one of you that have subscribed to the show, that are very loyal to the show. Appreciate it. If you haven't done so, if this is your first time listening, or if you just listen randomly and listen, just subscribe. No matter which platform that you're on, if it's Spotify, if it's Amazon Music, if it's Pandora, Deezer, TuneIn, the list goes on and on. Just hit the subscribe button. Apple Podcasts especially, because also too, not only do you subscribe, you can also leave that 5-star review. Let the people know what's going on with the D-Lew Podcast. And also, again, as I stated last week, the podcast is now available on my YouTube channel. So if you search Derek T. Lewis, or if you search the D-Lew Podcast, just go click on it, go to my YouTube channel, hit subscribe, and you'll be able to get all new content from the D-Lew Podcast every single Thursday at 6 a.m. Eastern Time. You can follow the D-Lew Podcast on X/Twitter, Instagram at the D-Lew Podcast, Facebook. If you just search the D-Lew Podcast, you'll be able to follow it, like the page. And my main social media is at The Real DT Lew on all platforms, with the exception of Facebook, which is Derek T. Lewis official page. My stores, okay, I have two stores. My pro wrestling T store is pwt.derektlewis.com. Of course, my own merchandise store that has tees, hoodies, long sleeve tees, sweatshirts, coffee mugs, and of course, everyone needs a tote bag. That is shop.derektlewis.com. My single, Espacion with Angie Stars, is on all platforms, the music video, Apple Music, Tidal, Vevo, and YouTube. I want to wish all of you a happy Memorial Day. Stay safe. And as I always say, no matter what it is you do in life, always remember to make it count. See you next time.